if he'd ever seen a flying saucer, and his reply.
The only flying saucer that I've ever seen was in a kitchen when I started an argument with my wife.
Good evening. My name is Don Ecker, and the show is UFOs Tonight. Joining me in studio is Werner von Braun, otherwise known as
Werner von Braun,
the White Schultz. Or, as the waiter at the restaurant asked him, are you Dwayne Schwartz?
And that is the best thing that's been said to me in a long time.
Tonight we have got a great show. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We are going to go back to the very genesis of not only UFOs, but the UFO movie of all time. Tonight, who will be joining us the second hour at 10 o'clock Pacific time, that's the second hour, will be internationally renowned director Mr. Robert Wise, the man that brought us the very first UFO movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. If you're not familiar with Mr. Wise, I'm sure you are familiar with many of his other projects. He directed Star Trek, the movie, the very first Star Trek film, The Andromeda Strain, West Side Story, The Sound of Music, The Sand Pebbles, and Curse of the Cat People. Does it sound maybe like you've seen his work before? Well, it should be a fascinating hour. The first hour, however, what we're going to be doing, seeing as how this is week number one after Roswell, the movie, premiered, and I want to get your feedback on that. I've also got, as I promised 2 weeks ago, and we didn't get around to doing it, I've got a number of books donated very generously by Kevin Randall and Donald Schmidt, The Truth About the Crash, the UFO Crash at Roswell, that I'm going to be giving out to you, the listeners, tonight. And I've got a number of books, Gray Matter by Ann Ecker, that I'm going to be giving out. I just got some back, and I know right now that there are three of you out there that have been waiting for your Gray Matter book. Hang in there. They're going to be going out this week since I got the supply. Dwight, you saw the movie, of course, the premiere. What was your take, your overall take? I mean, you're very familiar with this case.
Yes, I enjoyed the movie very much. And as we talked about it last week, too, over the past few weeks, what I appreciated about the film most of all was its ability to place you in the paradox of having seen something that no one will believe, of hearing perhaps two or three different stories, very much like a lawyer at the site of an accident, knowing that an accident took place, but hearing three people say, just give you slightly different aspects of the same story. It's the Rashomon syndrome. And I thought that the film did that very well and attempted to play out those different scenarios and therefore correlate a picture for you. I enjoyed the performances very much. I thought Kyle MacLachlan was wonderful. It had a great sense of style and history.
And so many positive reviews.
Yes, it did. It had some wonderful reviews and a couple bad ones too, but everybody gets bad reviews. Just talk to me some night over a beer. I'll tell you about that. But no, it was a very valiant effort, I thought. And it's amazing what talent can do on a shoestring budget, really. You see a lot of money thrown away. But here were people who really believed in something, and I thought that it was a first-rate project.
Well, you know, speaking to Randall,
wish I had been in it.
Oh, I'd like to have seen you in there, too. But speaking to Kevin Randall a number of weeks ago, Vicky and I asked Kevin what he thought this the release of this film may do. And we asked him, do you think there may be any repercussions, for the want of a better word, about this this flick? And he said, well, depending upon how it's perceived by the public, he said, the only thing I may see happening is perhaps some disinformation being released that might attempt to either discredit the story or to lead investigators off in another area. And of course, you know, there are many, many people now that are taking a look at Roswell. And surprisingly enough, on local news here in Los Angeles this past week, Renee called us up and said, I just heard something on the ABC affiliate. You might want to tune in. It mentioned Marilyn Monroe and UFOs.
Yeah, you know, this, now, did they name the author? Because I saw, is this the British book? Is this a British author? I saw that there were two new books coming out about Marilyn Monroe, but of course it didn't mention the UFO point. But when you told me that, I was, there they are, they're at work.
Well, there were two people, a man and a woman. One was a writer, the other was, I believe, a private investigator. Mm-hmm. I don't know their names. I didn't recognize either of them. However, according to this news report, which we had to wait until practically the end of the news broadcast for, they kept you know, throwing trailers at
yes.
us.
Teasers.
The report basically stated that these two people had received documents from the Central Intelligence Agency under Freedom of Information that stated that one of the reasons that Marilyn Monroe was killed was not only her liaison with the Kennedy brothers, with Jack and Bobby, but according to this document, Jack Kennedy, the president, had released some information during pillow talk to Marilyn about the Roswell case and mentioning aliens. Now that is what was in this document. So now this coming week will be the, I believe it's the 32nd anniversary of her death, and this book that these two people had written, I believe it was released last year, but this is brand new information. So, you know, I've often said concerning some of the more questionable elements in the UFO field that have tied all these conspiracies together.
Yes.
The only thing missing was the Marilyn Monroe conspiracy. Well, finally we have it. We finally have it. Well, I think what we ought to do probably is take a look at the phone lines here. We already have some calls coming in. But let's take a break. And I'll tell you what. I'm going to give away the first of these two books that I have to give away tonight on the truth about the UFO crash at Roswell. Now, this is how you guys and gals out there can win one. Now, Renee's going to give the numbers, and this is the first question I'm going to ask. Who played the part of Townsend in the movie Roswell? The first question, who played the part of Townsend in the movie Roswell? Okay, Renee, take it away.
If you know the answer to this question, or if you'd like to join in tonight's conversation, and you happen to be within the 818-213 or 310 area codes.
It was not anything from this earth that I'm quite sure of, because I was being an intelligence officer, I was familiar with just about all materials used in aircraft and our air travel. This is nothing like that. It could not have been.
Okay, we're back, and we've already got some phone lines lit up here. Let's wait and see who's on the lines before we go. You know, the movie, I have not heard, Dwight, like I did last year when Fire in the Sky broke. Of course, Fire in the Sky was about the Travis Walton case.
Yes.
There were many people in the UFO community and critics that absolutely panned that movie because of the Hollywood treatment about the abduction encounter.
Yes.
Which was not according to what Walton originally stated. I haven't heard that about this film.
Well, I've heard a few criticisms about the alien being able to read people's, to reach out with his mind and affect Forrestal. But that... you have to remember the difference between television and film is one of PR and motion pictures have to make a fortune in a very short period of time, whereas this film on Showtime is going to be played for an entire month, several times a week. So the way a film builds, the way word of mouth, both good and bad, is created, it takes time. It doesn't hit you with the same kind of wallop that happens with feature films, where you have a spate of people hitting the talk shows, and Larry King, and every talk show there's a star from the movie. Well, that wasn't the case with this. The budget wasn't quite so big. And it's like I say, in the motion picture industry, if for people who don't know it, that usually the advertising budget is the size of the budget for the film itself.
Well, you know, they got a lot of exposure in TV Guide.
Yes, they did.
A tremendous amount. Dwight Yoakam, who played Mac Brazel, there was an interview in there. They had something in the sci-fi section where they review things.
But this film basically supported the historians who have worked on this case, whereas the Travis Walton film was almost a metaphor for his experience. I mean, what happened inside that ship bore no resemblance to what had been described. It was them creating an experience outside. They took an incident and expanded it to such a degree that it was unrecognizable, whereas this was an actual attempt, save for a few places where the story was goosed. It was an actual attempt to relay to you an actual event that people experienced, and that there are people alive today who went through this, who claim that this really happened, and there was respect for those stories.
Well, you know, and
respect for the intelligence of the viewer, too.
Well, in our own way, you and I and the magazine and Vicki have contributed to the Roswell story, because for all you folks out there that have been wondering, we are on deadline right now for the next issue of the magazine. And we will be breaking in UFO Magazine, in the very next issue, a eyewitness to the crash and the bodies that Dwight and I discovered in Roswell, New Mexico, just a couple of months ago, that we mentioned very briefly on a past show. Randall and Schmidt, who are coming out with additional information this coming year, are already privy to this information. They have talked to this eyewitness. They are satisfied. We were satisfied that the story is legitimate, and it will be added to their up and coming.
Well, what I'm interested in also here. You read. I don't know whether you mentioned it last week, but Carl Flock, who has produced a paper which is in contradiction to the Randall Schmidt book, which is funded by the Fund for UFO Research. I am interested to see the authors of these books get together and smash it out. I want to see the critics. I want to hear Randall and Schmidt meet these critics, because I believe Randall and Schmidt have done an excellent job. And what I have seen of the critics and what they've written, it doesn't hold up, folks.
Well, let's go to the phone lines, because we have all our lines are lit up. I'm going to take the very first call. We have Mike in Sherman Oaks joining us on United. Good evening, Mike.
Hello, Don. How you doing?
Just fine. What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Well, first I wanted to ask, I got an answer to the question.
Okay.
Martin Sheen.
You got it. You got it.
And also I wanted to ask HM.
But for all you other people that are waiting on the line, don't worry. We have other books to give away.
Don and I are going to breathe alternately, and you just have to call up and identify the breath.
That's pretty good. One thing I wanted to say, that was an excellent movie.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm kind of speechless. I really enjoyed it. And a couple days after I saw it, I took it to a friend's with some other people there, and we watched it, and nobody got up to go to the bathroom. Nobody did nothing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was that enthralling.
It was that. They really liked it. And I feel that the military really made Jesse Marcel look like a jerk-off.
Oh, they did.
But they promoted him.
I
yes.
never knew that, though.
They did promote him. He was promoted to lieutenant colonel. And believe me, if you were a military officer and you screwed up like they claimed he screwed up, he would have been cashiered out of the service.
Oh, yeah.
Much less promoted.
I mean, it was just, I mean, I the,
you
the
see what's happening
really
to Robert intense. Altman, don't you?
And I got to say, McLaughlin played a hell of a part.
Yep, he was.
I mean, when they had him kneeling down, holding the foil and the balsa wood, it's like he's not happy.
Well, how has between that movie and the shows that we've done here, do you feel that that the shows and the people that we've had on here addressing this case have been edifying for you, Mike?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Good.
I think
Did you catch the Randall and the Schmidt shows?
What, you mean afterwards?
No. I mean on this program.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think for people that, shall we say, don't believe in the phenomenon, people seeing that movie, I think it will change their mind. If it doesn't, then they have to be pretty dense.
I would agree. I mean, we don't have to necessarily agree, even though, I mean, I personally have talked to witnesses now that have claimed to see the bodies.
All right.
We don't have to necessarily accept that they were E.T. per se.
Right.
But just to admit that there was something of tremendous importance and high strangeness that happened, and that the military, the United States military, under the auspices of the government, did cover it up, did lie about it, and they are still concealing it.
Yeah. And then, you know, the part with Mac Brazil when he comes out and says, hey, you know, you've heard the stories that they're green. Well, they ain't green, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, bottom line. I just wanted to say to HM, do you still have the Captain Bellybuster hat?
You know, I don't have that. I still have, you know, my basic duds, which I've kept. But we gave away a lot of the props to charities.
You were my favorite character in that
show.
Well,
thank you. It's very nice of you to say. I enjoyed it very much.
But
enjoyed working with everybody on the program.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the movie again. I've already seen it like 3 times.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you what. We've got to move along on the other phones, but don't hang up. I'm going to have the engineer get your name, your address, where we can send that book to you.
Okay, Don.
Okay?
Thanks a lot, buddy.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, is he still there? Are you still there, Mike?
Nope.
Well, you know what? Oh, golly, I think I did it again. Mike, if you're there and, you know, okay, yeah, call back. Sitchin told me, he said, Don, keep your fingers off the buttons. And unfortunately, I haven't done it. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling us from Berkeley in Albany on Century. Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing today? You gonna ask me an easy question?
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna ask you a real easy question.
I hope I can answer it.
Okay. Now this is for the Gray Matter book.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Dwight, do you have the question?
What's your name?
My name is Kevin Scott Solander.
You won!
Hot dog.
You got a book coming to you, Kevin.
Well, that's great. You know, I'm a big fan of the program. I listen all the time. And it hasn't ruined my Saturday nights. It's made my Saturday nights.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's very appreciated. Well, I'll tell you what. Did you have anything else?
Well, not really. I watched the program. I saw it on Showtime. Went over to a friend's house, and we had a great time watching it. And I was telling them the story as the story was happening, and they were great. They were happy to have me along to help them through it.
Well, by golly, you ought to tell them to tune into the show.
All right.
Okay, look, I'm going to put you on hold, Kevin.
Thanks.
Okay, and our engineer is going to get your name and address.
I'm very excited.
Okay, and incidentally, Darren, the first winner, have you gotten a hold of him yet? Okay, well, when he calls back, Mike, call back. Mark down that that's the Randall Schmidt book. This gentleman is Gray Matter.
Oh.
Okay, Kevin, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Now, I didn't hang up on him. Now, I know that this next caller is probably going to want a book, too. Now, let's think of a real...
This is where we do the breath thing.
Yes.
Who's breathing, Don or Dwight?
Okay, now, we're going to have Keith from Burbank on King. Good evening, Keith. Are you there, Keith?
Keith is gone.
Let me see. Keith, are you there?
I think our breath was bad.
It could have been. Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, you're on the air.
Yes, is Don?
Yes.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I wish I hadn't given you my name. I just called in, you know, to answer the question because we watched the Roswell thing the other night.
Okay. Well, we're going to come up with a with a question right now.
Okay.
Let me see.
Let me tell you something quick. I worked at Lockheed for 35 years.
All right.
In the skunk works, and that's why I wish I hadn't given you my name.
Why do you think that we're going to come out looking for you?
Oh no.
Do you know something, Keith?
No, not actually. I mean, I just can't really say too much about it. But there are some things that,
Well, I've got.
Anyway, I hope I won the contest.
Well, I've got just the question for you.
Sure.
Okay. Now we're talking about Roswell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now Roswell was the home of the 509th Bomb Wing Bomber Group.
Right.
Right. You know what they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They carried the A-bomb. In 1947, they were the only military group in the world that had atomic capabilities. What was the date of the first dropping of the A-bomb?
I guess I really don't know that.
Come on now, you got to know your history.
Take a guess. It's so close to you.
It's really close.
If you pick up a newspaper...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Well, you bet. You have a good one. Okay, let's go to... We've got Larry from North Hollywood on United.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Just fine. And you know what?
What?
I just had my engineer wave at me. We've got to take a quick break. But let me put you back on hold, and as soon as we come back, we'll take the call.
It's
and
a deal.
I want you to think about that question. What was the date of the first dropping of the atomic bomb? Okay?
All right, I'm thinking.
When we come back.
Okay.
Okay, let's see here. Let me look here. We've got, we're going to give out the phone numbers again, and Renee's going to do that. And when we come back, more of UFOs Tonight. The first hour, Roswell. Second hour, Robert Wise and the Day the Earth Stood Still.
If you're within the 818-213 or 310 area codes, please call us at 818-35.
Decide where the crash was. And what I saw, I couldn't believe there was so much of it. It was scattered over such a vast area. So we proceeded to pick up as much of the debris as we could, loaded in a wagon. We filled that up. It took us a good part of the day to do that. Because it was such small fragments that we had to do a lot of picking. We found a piece of metal about a foot and a half to 2 feet wide and about 2-3 feet long. It felt like you had nothing in your hands. It wasn't any thicker than the foil out of a pack of cigarettes. But the thing about that got me is that you couldn't even bend it. You couldn't dead it. Even with a sledgehammer would bounce off it. So I knew that I had never seen anything like that before. And as of now, I don't know what it was.
And that, of course, was then Lieutenant Colonel Jesse Marcel, retired. Okay, let's go back to Larry in North Hollywood.
Hi, Don.
Okay, how's it? Did you come up with an answer yet, Larry?
Well, I sure did. It was 49 years ago today.
Exactly. You got the prize. All right.
Standing. Now I have a question for you.
Okay.
When did Marilyn Monroe die?
Ooh. 32 years ago this week.
That's great, but I don't have a book to give you, Don.
Well, you got a book coming.
Well,
and
that's terrific.
And don't hang up, and I promise I won't cut you off. So you got to give your name and address to Darren.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's Larry Sorrentino. You
is this that Larry? Oh my Lord!
It's that Larry, all right.
Yeah, Larry was with us when we did the Vietnam show on July the 2nd.
And I want to tell you that my Saturday nights have been enriched since I discovered UFOs Tonight.
Well, thank you, Larry. We appreciate that. Sometimes, I got to tell you, it's a labor of love.
Well, I can understand that. I want to tell you that Roswell has caused quite a stir at my place of work. It seems like I'm the only one affluent enough who could afford Showtime.
Oh, is that right?
Well, I recorded the movie,
uh-huh.
Brought it into work the following Monday, and it's been rotating from around work. Everybody's, you know, watching it, and they're having little Roswell parties, and several people are getting together each evening and watching the movie, and they all come back and say, "My God, I didn't know this happened." But then again, they're not as mature as you and I. They're just youngsters.
Yeah, well, it's truly, in my estimation, it's the story of the century.
Well, the government, our government has been very successful in creating a myth that everybody who sees something strange, such as this, is a nut.
Oh, of course.
Is crazy. They've been very, very successful at creating the stereotypical nut. And whenever there's been somebody who has indeed been propagating falsehoods, they take center stage. But when somebody is onto the truth, you find them on the back page, you find them smothered by garbage. And our government has been very successful keeping this particular story under wraps for 40 years, 50
well,
years.
Well, they have a vested interest in it, too, don't
yes,
you
they
think?
Do. Yes, they do.
And I think the whole phenomenon is, on a par with the Gordian knot. And what's going to have to happen is someone needs to come along and cut it open with a sword. Who was it, Damocles that did that? Mm.
Well, I think he had a sword hanging over his head, Larry, if I remember my mythology.
Well, somebody cut the Gordian knot in half because they couldn't unravel it. And I think that's what needs to happen. It has to be an internal explosion. Somebody in the government has to get fed up with this cover-up and come forth with a lot of indisputable evidence and not documents that have been obtained from Freedom of Information that are all blacked out except the date.
Yeah, I totally agree. Look, we have got to move along, Larry. Let me put you on hold. Darren will get that address for you. I'm sure Vicki has it back at the office, but I want to make sure.
Okay.
And make sure you tell him that it's the Roswell book.
Outstanding, Don. Thanks
okay, you bet.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Bruce in Yucaipa, who's joining us on Southland. Good evening, Bruce.
How are you, Don?
I'm fine.
Hey, we're at the Skunk Works out here in Yucaipa. And all your good friends are out here listening tonight.
Well, super.
And we're enjoying the show.
Are we ruining your Saturday night?
Oh, you're regulating our Saturday night with good information. We're enjoying it.
Well, fantastic.
Hey, we did pick out one omission. You said the only part of the conspiracy that wasn't complete was the Marilyn Monroe component.
Right.
Well, where is Elvis in all this?
Well, he's on Mars. They have his face on Mars. It's there alongside the Martian face. I got that on good authority. I think it was Carl Sagan, wasn't it, Dwayne?
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was Sagan that had mentioned that he was on Mars.
Well, we're sorry we missed the Roswell movie the other night, but obviously your listeners have certainly enjoyed it, and we'll try to find a tape of it. But you've certainly put on a good show tonight, and your friends in Yucaipa appreciate it, and I would like to pass your regards along. Our regards.
Well, let us pass regards along to you and Terry, because you probably thought I didn't recognize your voice.
Oh, I think you did. Okay, you and Vicki have a good time, and have a good show. We appreciate it.
Okay, Bruce, and thank you.
Okay, thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. All right, let's see. We are right now at the half hour. We are going to take that required half hour break. When we come back, we're going to have more of UFOs tonight. I also have some more gray matter books to give away. So keep those calls coming, and we'll be back after this.
Put on your thinking caps and give us a call if you're within the 818-213 or 310 area code.
And we are back.
How are we back?
UFOs tonight. And in studio with me, once again, Mr. Dwight Schultz. And I want to thank all the people that help make this show possible every week. Renee, Jeff, and our engineer, whom we could not do anything without his assistance, Darren. Guys, thanks. Okay, let's go back to the phones. I guess before we... Let's see. We have Mimi in North Hollywood on United. Mimi is one of our... Mimi, I haven't forgotten you. It's one of our winners with a gray matter book. I finally got a supply of those books in. We're going to be sending them out this week.
Oh, wonderful.
So all that waiting has not been in vain. Did you see the movie?
Yes, I did. Oh, by the way, my chum Garrett says it was Alexander the Great that cut the Gordian knot.
Okay.
I loved Roswell.
Can he prove it, though?
Can he prove it? I don't know. We'd have to go back in time, and that might be a drag. I was really impressed with Roswell. I was particularly impressed with Dwight Yoakam. I thought it was a fabulous performance on his part. The real reason I called was I wondered if either of you guys knew what happened to the Area 51 coverage on Channel 4. They were supposed to run it all last week. They ran it Monday, Tuesday. It was preempted on Wednesday, and Thursday it disappeared.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that, Mimi. I did. Do I have any information on that? No, I don't. I did not. Well, we've been so bloody busy with this new issue that we're getting completed, you know, to go to press, that we haven't had any time. But I did wonder about that. That was something that. Did you see those first reports?
I saw a little bit of it. They didn't break any new ground, which is, I think, it was mostly old news.
Yeah, it seemed mostly background, but yeah. Just the fact that they were reporting it at all. And Chuck Henry did seem to be somewhat sincere in his treatment, even though they made him tart up the beginning a little bit.
Well, I think that they have a lot of competition with Channel 11, which has been covering this story for a long time, right up front. As soon as news comes in, they've been right on top of it, and perhaps they felt that it was just a little old.
Well, David Garcia.
David Garcia.
Yeah.
Has done so much work on that story.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tie you guys up on the phone, so...
Thanks for calling.
Hi,
well,
all.
Mimi, thank you for your call, and hey, you know, like I try to remember every week, keep those eyes to the skies. You know, I just had another birthday a little over a week ago, and my mind is going, so, you know, you've got to cut me a little huss there.
Okay, well, age is no excuse, but happy ex-birthday.
Okay, Mimi, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to, let's see, we have Tom in Panorama City joining us on United. Good evening, Tom.
Hello, it's Tom from Panorama City. I'm a United artist.
How you
Channel
doing?
41. Okay. I was kind of disappointed with the Roswell movie. It was a lot of old stuff that I already knew, but it had some new stuff in it. But I was particularly interested in the last 15 or 20 minutes. And I had some questions, but I have many questions, but they're about the movie that they didn't really go into in the movie, but I don't want to tie your time up. So is there a place I could write to ask somebody about it?
Well, sure. You could contact us at UFO Magazine,
okay.
And we could, you know, either talk to you there about it, or
okay.
I could forward the information along to Don Schmidt and Kevin Randall.
Okay, that'd be great. Now, there's just one main question I have. Martin Sheen's role as Townsend, who was really this Townsend character?
It was fictional.
Yeah, it was a fictional character.
Was that Townsend Brown, or?
No.
He, this was a fictional character in the movie.
Oh, it was a fictional character.
Yes.
So you're saying that this
the reunion
part
was
of
fiction.
The movie did not happen.
The reunion was fiction.
Well, they had to have a vehicle to bring this story out. Although the 509th over the years has had many reunions.
Okay.
That part of the movie was dramatized for.
And that's the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
That I thought that was the best part of the movie.
Well, you know, that basically comes from many years of people researching the facts that could be dug out, hypothesis, and so forth.
Right.
So, you know, Tom, this is, right now, it's best guess. Whatever the true facts are still hidden and covered.
And you see, you have to remember that in terms of the history of Roswell, Marcel didn't, it was late that Marcel came out with the story and actually came forward and said, so what they tried to do in the movie was show what was actually going on inside of him all of those years that he kept quiet, that he kept it secret, and he finally came out. They tried to highlight emotionally what it was like when he finally came forward and said, it didn't happen the way we said it happened, and I participated in that cover-up. And it was a device. They have theatrical devices, and it is a movie. It's an entertainment. It's not. But it is. Even for those of us like yourself and myself who are familiar with all the facts, it can be boring. But for most people,
they wouldn't know.
They have no idea that this. They really have no idea that this happened.
Right.
So most people are actually being acquainted with this information for the very first time.
Okay. Now, could I just make one more comment before I leave here? A friend of mine that's kind of shy, he doesn't really want to call in. But have you seen the alien face on the Verdugo Hills above the Glendale Burbank Airport at the end of Sherman Way if you're looking east?
No.
It appeared just after the earthquake. And it's like a alien face from Communion.
Where exactly was this?
It's right on the Verdugo Hills. If you're at Sherman Way and, say, Vineland, looking directly east, you'll see it. And it's, I mean, it's a big face. We've gotten up as close as we could, but it kind of, you know, blends in, so you have to be kind of like far back in the valley a ways, you know, like the airport or Burbank, to get a full clarity of the face. But it's exactly like out of communion.
Oh.
And it appeared right after the earthquake.
All right.
And we haven't been able to get any clear pictures or anything because of the smog and everything else, you know, but we still want to. But I was just wondering if you guys have seen it.
No, I really
haven't. It's really something to see.
But let me also make this announcement now that this coming Tuesday, Roswell will once again be on Showtime. You'll have to check your local listings for what times. But it's going to play again this coming Tuesday in just a couple of days. So for you folks that have missed it, if you don't have Showtime, you still probably have time to get it. If not, call somebody up that has it and have them tape it for you. Tom, I want to thank you for your call. We're going to move along. We are going to go to Wanda, who's joining us from Fullerton on Comcast.
Yeah, another Saturday night.
Well, good evening, Wanda.
Yeah.
Got a question for you.
Yes.
Okay, or for anybody else out there.
Okay.
In the Roswell movie, for a copy of Gray Matter, written by our very good friend, Dr. Ann Ecker, if you can tell me the name of the character in the movie that played the mortician, you have got a copy of the book coming at you.
Well,
now, this is not his real name, but the character name.
No, I'm sorry. I couldn't tell you the actor's name or the character's name. So I've lost the book. Well, that's the way it goes in life.
Oh, Wanda. Okay.
Well, listen, the gentleman before me had asked the question on talents, and I was interested in that. And interesting, too, is I find that many people have never even heard of Roswell. So this is new to a lot of people. And it's sort of like you got millions of Christians, but how many millions more have never even heard of Christ? So it's the same thing with Roswell, if you know what if you get what I mean.
Very good metaphor.
And the Channel 4 News, if it's the same thing I'm thinking of, I watched it the first time, the second time, and they brought out the funny-looking people, if you know what I mean. Perhaps it was a different program,
mm-hmm.
but in trying to tell us something, they were bringing out what would be the peculiar-looking ones. In other words, would these people really be serious? In other words, wearing funny hats,
that kind
of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the lady that always appears on the talk shows, and she always comes from Venus.
Yes.
Well, you know, who can take that serious?
Every time I see that, I'm thinking to myself, get a life.
Right.
Get a life.
Right. Well, I had a problem with this particular program that I saw for a few minutes. I thought, why did they do that?
When the recent sightings in the Midwest, when they showed the newsroom, everyone in the newsroom was wearing a pot on their head. This is the media, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Well, look, we have got to take a commercial break.
Oh, okay. Well,
Wanda, I want to thank you for
your
call. Keep listening and keep looking up.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, we are going to give out the phone numbers and all that other good stuff. Stay tuned because more is coming.
If you're within the 818, 213, or 310 area codes.
Whole flock of microphones there. They wanted me to some comments from me, but I wasn't at liberty to do that. So all I could do is keep a mouth shut. And General Raby is the one who discussed, told the newspapers, the newsmen, what it was, and to forget about it. It was nothing more than a weather observation balloon.
And we are back. Let's go to Albuquerque. Why don't we go to Albuquerque? Let's see. We got Brian joining us on satellite. Good evening, Brian.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I love the movie. Seen it 3 times.
Well, then you ought to be able to tell me the name of the mortician.
The name of the mortician.
Oh, this is an easy question.
Oh, Don, it's
I really don't know, but I'm very terrible.
I'll give a hint. You ready for a hint?
Right.
Okay. Just a couple of months ago, the producer of that movie was on this show, and the name is very similar to his. And if you can tell me what they called this guy, I'll even give you a little insight into why they did that. Why they didn't call him by his real name, Glenn Dennis.
Glenn Dennis was his real name?
That was his real name. That was a real mortician's name. Come on, Brian, you can do it!
I don't know.
Don asks hard questions. I keep wanting to ask an easy question, but he won't do it.
I thought the witnesses at the end of the film, they're very compelling. You know, and one thing that you guys mentioned, I think it was Don Schultz that mentioned it at the end, that if it was any court of law, this was something you could take to court. You could win it hands down.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't see how the government has got away with it. Or I guess it's something so fantastic that people would never, you know, you could show some people right in front of their face and they still wouldn't think.
Brian, you have to understand that there's one thing that the government understands very well, and that is time. If you stretch something out long enough, you can't see it. When you watch a movie like Roswell, or a human being who has researched it for maybe 40 years, they can compress the picture so that you can see it. But it's like a flower unfolding, a rose that's unfolding. If you have a lifespan of only 24 hours, you may miss it unfolding. You actually have to live long enough to see it unfold. We now have the ability to look back in retrospect and see all the evidence come together. But the government knows quite well if they obscure, if they obfuscate information over a period of 10, 12 years, everything drifts into a morass and it will be lost. And they've done a very good job. Luckily for us, some of the major players finally came forward to put a lens on what occurred. But you can obscure anything if you have enough money and if you control the information.
Is your book still out on the newsstands or anywhere? I would imagine the book has a lot more information.
You mean UFO Magazine?
Well, no.
You mean the Schmidt-Randall book?
Yeah, it's your book.
Yes, it's out there.
It's in its fourth or fifth printing now.
The truth about the crash at Roswell. You can go to Bookstar, you can go to Barnes & Noble, and you'll find it.
And one last little question before I go. They mentioned about, in the movie, I watched it twice to catch it, but...
Well, then you should know the name of the mortician in there, Brian.
Stop it, Don.
I forgot his name. But about... years later, like in 1963, that there was an exchange done at
64.
At 64.
Yeah, Holloman Air Force Base. That's
the one. Tell me just a little bit about that.
Well, very briefly, back in the early 70s, there was a documentary-type film done on UFOs by Rod Serling from the old Twilight Zone, and it was called UFOs, It Has Begun, and it was taken from a book written by a researcher by the name of Bob Emmenegger. And in this particular movie, according to Emmenegger, there actually had been a... pre-planned landing of three unidentified flying objects or spacecraft at Holloman Air Force Base, where allegedly alien beings on board these craft got off and met with representatives of the United States Air Force and the U.S. government. That's the rumor.
Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen. I won't take any more of your time.
Okay, Brian.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Much. Let's go to, let's see, do we have time to do it before we got to take another break? No, let me go ahead and give the phone numbers again, and then do the commercial, and when we come back, I'll take the last calls. Then at 10 o'clock, Robert Wise will be our guest right here on UFOs Tonight.
If you'd like to join in tonight's conversation and you're within the 818-213 or 310 area codes.
Here at UFOs Night, we're always...
Mullen or cowbell or who? Somebody cooked up the idea. In the public store, we use it just randomly. What was your reaction to that? You mean public reaction or...
No, even privately, just in between you and me.
Well, that was all right with us. I mean, if that's what we
complain
about, sure, what the hell? It doesn't make any difference. I knew what we were told to do about the other material, and that wasn't going to be discussed under any circumstances.
Any talk about where they speculated it might be from?
Never any discussion, because as I say, that England, at the moment that McMullen told me You are not to discuss this, and this is a point of which this is more than top secret, as he said. It's beyond that. It's within my priority as deputy to George Kennedy, and he in turn responsible to the president. This is the highest priority you could get, and you will say nothing, and that's the end of it. And Jesus, thanks, and the commander-in-chief, and you forgot about it.
That, of course, was now, unfortunately, he's no longer with us, Brigadier General DuBose. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got a bunch of calls, and we've got to get them done quick. John in Studio City on United.
Good evening. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Do you know the answer?
To who was the mortician?
Yeah.
Well, when you asked it, I thought Glenn Dennis in my head, and obviously that was the name of the actor.
No. That was the actual name of the mortician. I'm talking about the character in the movie.
No, I don't know who played him.
Okay. No. I don't want to know the actor's name. What the character's name in the movie?
Right.
Was.
I understood that, but I
don't know.
You get the feeling Don doesn't really have a book to give away. That's why he's asking this question.
Exactly. Basically, I have a statement more than anything. I'm very aware of the case, and I've been listening to you for a couple of years now. First time I've worked up the nerve to call you. But basically, I'd like to get your comments on the only reason that I can think of that the government would be keeping this secret this long for so long is that there's something really horrendous going on out there that the general public is not or prepared to handle right now.
Well, there.
No one wants to be an ostrich and stick their head in the sand.
John, you would not be the first person to think that. Believe me.
I mean, do you believe that there is something going on that society is not prepared to handle?
Sometimes I personally think that possibly could
it's
be
the government that came to the conclusion through the Brookings Institution. You see, they created a protocol. They create protocols for everything. And when the Brookings Institution studied this subject, they came to the conclusion that our society would literally disintegrate if this information was released. That is why it's been kept secret.
Well, that's a pretty good reason for keeping it secret.
If you believe it,
any superior civilization in the past that has discovered or interacted with a less advanced civilization, the less advanced civilization, in the majority of cases, have either been absorbed by the superior civilization or they have disintegrated. And when back in the late 50s, the early 60s, when the new fledgling agency NASA contracted with Brookings, they wanted to know what would happen if, in fact, alien artifacts or even aliens were discovered within our own solar system. And this, unfortunately, was the recommendation that they keep this information hidden. But this was many years after. After the UFO, right. This was many years after the phenomena itself was publicly recognized.
But do you really think that people's basic human nature has changed that much between the 60s and say today?
Well, I think we're much more sophisticated today. Let's face it, for 30 years now, we have been absolutely we've been on the receiving end of a deluge of sci-fi and
in 1950 you could say a prayer in public schools. You can't say it today. The Catholic Church was an extraordinarily powerful political force. It is a political force today, but it was very, very powerful in the 50s. Our society has changed dramatically in the last 40 years.
Well, I hope that you're both correct in that. Sometimes I have my doubts, but I try and look on the positive.
You wonder how sophisticated the human species is today when you look at things like what is going on now in Rwanda. You know, it's just horrible. Look, we have got to run, John, but I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you both for the show, and Dwight, you're a fine new addition, and I listen to you every Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, let's see. Let's go to Nick in Arleta on United. Good evening, Nick.
How you doing today?
Just fine. Right. What's on your mind? Do you have the answer?
You want to know the name of the mortician on Roswell?
Yeah, the
Glenn Dennis.
Okay, that is the actual name of the real mortician. But what was the character's name that was in the film?
Oh, in the film itself?
Right.
Hmm.
No idea, huh? Oh, this is an easy one. You know, as a matter of fact. It's easy. This particular name is very close to one of my guests that was here just a couple of months ago that was one of the producers on this film, the executive producer. Now, that's a heck of a hint.
I just know the name of the initial mortician himself. I mean, his real name, I'm no idea.
Okay.
I'll bet Paul Davids would know.
He might. He might. It's possible. Okay, Nick, was there something on your mind?
I called you about a week or so ago in regards to a sighting that we had here in Arleta. And, it was still, you know, pretty much set in our minds and still talking about it to this day. And it was about 2-3 years ago, the lights of Arleta, so to speak.
And then you've had no other.
I try to check up and follow it up as best I could, as far as checking with local airports and all military installations in the area, and nobody could verify that that there was lights in the air at that time, or you know there was anything being seen at the time that we've seen these things.
Well, we unfortunately, Nick, have not received any information on that. But look, I have got to run along.
Well, I appreciate I listen to your show, and I appreciate the call.
Well, thank you, and we hope you keep tuning in.
Okay.
Let's see. We have just about a minute before the top of the hour. Let's go to Ralph in Escondido. Good evening, Ralph.
Hey, how you doing?
Good evening.
It's a great show, Dwight. I have been doing a little research. The Army was very concerned about a missile they called the Bumper V-2 with a WAC Corporal as a second stage. In fact, in one of the references I found, they were concerned that to the east lay Roswell, and that any errant missile could contact or crash in the Roswell area or fly south into Mexico. But there is no evidence at all that the WAC Corporal was launched in 1947. There was a sounding rocket launch in 1949, which is straight up and straight down at White Sands, and then later a full range launch in Florida. The Army was concerned about that possibility, though, of a missile impacting Roswell or in the Roswell vicinity, but there's just no evidence that it ever occurred.
And there would be no reason to keep that secret for 50 years.
Yeah. I was very interested in the connection of Secretary Forrestal, who committed suicide and then had an aircraft carrier named after him. How was he connected with this through the movie?
Well, according to the film, and of course, a lot of this is hypotheses. Forrestal, in fact, did crack up in the Pentagon.
Yes.
There had been testimony where he did run through the hall screaming, they're here, there's nothing we can do. Now, for years, we've been told that it was the Cold War heating up with the Soviet Union that caused his breakdown. His medical records are still sealed. His diaries disappeared. No one truly knows what caused his death or what were in his private papers. Ralph, we are right now at the top of the hour. My guest, Mr. Robert Wise, is waiting for us.
Ask him how he filmed the boom scene in the Sand Pebbles, one of the greatest scenes ever filmed.
I agree with you.
That was a tremendous scene. Ask him how he filmed that and what went through his mind when he did it.
All right. We will do that. And I want to thank you for your call.
Thanks for calling, Ralph.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the top of the hour. We've got to take that top of the hour break. When we come back, we have joining us on telephone Mr. Robert Wise, internationally renowned director, and some of the films that Mr. Wise has directed over the years have included things like Star Trek, the movie, The Sand Pebbles, West Side Story, and of course, one of the greatest sci-fi classic movies ever, The Day the Earth Stood Still, which really set the tone for all the sci-fi movies to follow. When we come back, Mr. Robert Wise.